you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. I'm Donna Leland. March is Women's History Month, and I thought we'd take a quick peek into the life of Fanny Crosby. She was a prolific writer that believed she wrote over 6,000 different poems and songs during her lifetime. She lived to be 92 years old. Her life began in 1820 in New York. Her father had already been a widower, so this would have been his second wife, Mercy Crosby. And she also had a half-sister from her father's first marriage. At 6 weeks, she lost her eyesight to an infection and possibly medical ignorance through a doctor who really wasn't qualified to treat her, although some suggest maybe she really was born blind. Her father ended up dying when she was only 6 months old, and so she was raised by her very devout mother and her maternal grandmother. She would sit on her grandmother's lap, and the grandmother would be singing different songs and reading scripture to her. So her little brain was just soaked in the words of the Lord while she was very young. This is the very first poem she ever wrote, and she was 8 years old. Oh, what a happy soul am I! Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind? I cannot, and I won't. And so she just began to love the Lord, and she would memorize great portions of the Bible by heart, committing many to memory. She actually committed the first 4 books of the Old Testament to memory, and the 4 Gospels, and that was before she was 10 years old. Braille had not been invented when she was a child. It would not really come into popularity until she was in college and teaching at the blind school, and she never learned it. No, she relied on her memory and the words that were spoken to her. At the age of 15, she entered the New York Institute for the Blind. She received a good education, and then she actually turned around and became a teacher at the institution in 1847, and she continued to work there until 1858. Now, while she was there, a young student was brought to her, and he was 12 at the time, and she was his teacher, and he then graduated and went on to college and did very well for himself, and he came back, and eventually he began to work also at the institution, Alex Van Alston, and they ended up getting married. I think she was like maybe 11 or 12 years his senior, and they were very well suited for each other and did ministry together and traveled and did their music. While she was a teacher at the school, she wrote many different poems that were very well known in America during that time. She also met Presidents Van Buren, Tyler, Henry Clay, Governor Seward, General Winfield Scott, and other distinguished characters in American history. So she was moving and going through the circles with some very, powerful and important people. And she was also writing these poems, which didn't really have any spiritual direction to it. They were just happy poems, the Honeysuckle Glen, Rosalie the Prairie Flower, Music in the Air, all together, just happy little songs. But something tragic would happen to her, and that would be when she was 40 years old, she would lose her child. The death of her infant really spun her into a different world, and that would be when she wrote Safe in the Arms of Jesus, and really that began her hymn writing. She began writing different hymns and poems for William Bradbury in 1864. That's when her very first hymn would be published for the Sunday school. We are going to a home beyond the skies. And after that, the floodgate was open, and she wrote hymn after hymn. She became very popular with Dwight L. Moody, This next hymn, "To God Be the Glory," was first published in 1875, and it was very popular. It was popular in Great Britain because Ira Sankey had introduced it there during Dwight L. Moody's evangelistic campaigns. It wasn't that popular in the U.S. until it was included by Cliff Burrows in the Billy Graham Crusade. So this song went to England with Moody and also through the U.S. with Billy Graham in 1954. And that's when it began to really show up in different hymnals. What's interesting is she wrote under many different names because it was a modesty thing. She didn't want to have her name spread all throughout the hymnals because there really wouldn't be very many other hymns at that time other than hers. And so she had different pseudonyms that she would write underneath. Well, let's enjoy an upbeat version of "To God Be the Glory." We're thinking today on the life of Fanny Crosby here on Mark and Friends. and learning more about how God used her in spite of her blindness. It really was in 1864 when her hymn writing took off. She was actually supported by writing hymns. She lived in New York City nearly all her life, and she was a member of the Old John Street Methodist Episcopal Church. And she spent hours at the Bigelow and Main Company. That was the firm for which she did most of her writing, having composed over 4,000 hymns just for them. Really, they would have her writing a hymn a week. They would give her different topics, and she didn't have to wait for any special inspiration. She could just sit down and write a poem that would turn into a song that would go along with what they were desiring to speak on that moment. Fanny collaborated on this next song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, with John Sweeney. He was a very prominent song leader, and they were at a summer revival meeting, and they got their heads together and created that. He was a part of the Bethany Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, which was described had one of the largest Sunday schools in the United States at the time. Her songs were used in many different situations, and singer-evangelist Homer Rhode Heaver described his experience with the song. He says, during the World War I, I sang the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, to many groups of soldiers in France, in the old shell-torn barracks, in dugouts where there was only a little candle with which to see the words, or in the open as the line of soldiers marching to the front would stop for rest. No matter where I sang this song, the soldier boys would take off their dirty service caps or hang their trench helmets on their arms and remain perfectly quiet. There was no other song I sang with this same effect. Many men have met me since the war and referred to the unusual situations in which it was sung and the impression this song had made upon them at that time. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Glory to God in the high.
Fanny Crosby hung out with some very prominent people of her time, presidents and other dignitaries. And one time she was visiting with her friend, Mrs. Joseph Knapp. Now, Mrs. Knapp was the wife of the founder of the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company in New York. Mrs. Knapp was playing a little tune on her piano that she had recently written, and she just said, "Fanny, what does this tune say?" I guess after kneeling in prayer for a few moments, they say she rose and declared, "Oh, it says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Well, Fanny began to dictate verses to Mrs. Knapp, who wrote them down, and then fit them into the melody, and it's just as we sing it today. They just created it together on the spot, and what a beautiful song we still enjoy. Here's Twyla Paris to sing for us, Blessed Assurance.
What a fortune
By the time Fanny Crosby was 80, her husband had passed away, and she moved back to Bridgeport, Connecticut, to be with her widowed sister, Carolyn, who also served as her secretary. And then after Carolyn passed away, she went to live with her niece, Florence Booth, who also lived in Bridgeport. She was very active, even in her advanced age, continued to writing, but she also took up a passion for the Bridgeport Christian Union, the Bowery Mission in New York City. This would be where the homeless would gather and the poverty-stricken. From 1867 to 1915, she established schools for the poor in New York City. She even went there and lived in one of these homes and looked like herself was a part of that community. She was constantly booked for speeches. She spoke to the railroad branch of the YMCA, local churches, and in different halls around the area. She participated in the summer educational and recreational assemblies held in New York with the Methodist Church. And it would be at the age of 95. That she ended up passing with arteriosclerosis and a cerebral hemorrhage. The life of Fanny Crosby, one well lived, and she certainly has blessed us with so many of her songs. Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends. I'm your host on your Thursday. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media. Have a great day.